everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 450. My name is Mark, sometimes called the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and this is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, mini PCs, presidential debates. Here lately, just about anything and everything is on the table. And we are full three triumvirate once again. Your friend and mine, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and returning once more, the manager, Eric Hardini. Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Doing all right, I think.
You look all right.
Hey, Mark. Well, yeah, he looks fine. I mean, he's a big man. You don't tell him he looks all right, he's going to squash it.
Hey, you look all right.
Hey. How's everything going, Mark? Going good?
Good.
I heard your latest geek rant, and all I got to say is I am so, so happy I have boys.
Yeah. That's a thing.
I know, and all I can do is just, I'm there for you. I will give you support. And any boy that looks at her the wrong way, you tell me, and I'll crush him.
I heard the second to the latest geek rant, I guess, because I don't know what you guys are talking about yet. So I'll have to check that out.
It'll be something to look forward to. So have either of you guys ever done an escape room? It's a new thing these days that are very popular. Familiar with that?
Oh, like where you go up into like an old building and it's like a hosted kind of party thing? Yeah. I've never done one. I've watched people do one. I think, Dor, weren't you with me? And they were doing one during that
ChannelCon. In Chicago. Yeah.
So my place of employment did a team building exercise yesterday, and we did, it was the Escape Woods. It was a maze out in the woods. So it wasn't a room, but we had, you know, basically you're dropped into this thing and you're given an objective. In our case, the theme was it's like an Indian burial ground thing, and you are trying to steal essentially the amulet before the federal authorities get there to claim it because it's federal property. So that basically that just sets the 1 hour timeline. So the feds will be there in an hour to arrest you. And so you got to figure out where it is, and then you've got to get through locked doors and all sorts of stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. I've never done anything like that. They said that they have about a 15% success rate. 85% of the people don't make it, and that their record time was 48 minutes of the hour. My team did it in 50 minutes, so I felt pretty good about that.
That's good. Did you have anybody break down crying or anything?
It wasn't one of those creepy zombie ones or anything like that. But it was just a here's a thing. There's a bunch of rocks with numbers on them. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
So like nobody on your team like got crushed by the pressure?
No. There was another group that went with us. They had to be extricated from the maze. Their hour was up. Mm-hmm. They didn't make it. But you know, again, that means they're. In the 85% of the population, so it's not like I should point and laugh at that. Yeah. I mean, I did, but I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
It'll be a while before they live that down. I would use it for a while.
So this is a place, you know, up in the mountains here where this guy had some land and he tried a corn maze and he had a pumpkin patch and whatever else, trying to make money any way you can. And this is his latest thing, the Escape Woods. It was kind of fun. I asked the guy how much it would cost. You know, obviously this was a corporate sponsored thing. I asked how much it would cost if I brought my family back. He said it's $30 per person. I'm not sure it was $30 worth of fun.
How much land did he use for this?
Not a whole lot, actually. The way the maze wrapped in on itself, you could do that on, you know, a quarter acre. He had a lot of land, but he didn't need much for this particular thing.
Huh. Okay. Was the maze set up with, like, hay bales or something?
Pallets. Shipping pallets.
Yeah, some people make coffee tables. Other people make mazes. Yeah,
that would mask code here. Can't set pallets on their sides.
Really?
Yeah, somebody tried to do a haunted house last year, a year before, and using pallets, making a maze out in front of his house. They shut him down.
Well, was that an HOA thing?
No, city.
Well, these guys aren't in a city.
Right, so. Yeah, outside the city is probably fine.
Yeah, I will say, you typically start every episode by asking the same question, so I'm going to intercept it and say, I do have some hardware news.
Nice.
I have the Lenovo Yoga book. It's really hard to convey exactly how thin this thing is that I'm holding in my hand, even if you're watching the video. I'll just say it's pretty crazy thin. I got the $499 version running Android, 4 gigs of RAM, brand new Intel processor on it. Decent processor speed, good RAM, has 4 gigs of RAM in it. 10-inch, I believe it was 10-inch display on it, touchscreen display. Funky, they call it Halo keyboard. I call it like hybrid keyboard because it's basically a touch screen without the screen behind it, a sheet of glass with just LED lights underneath it in the design of a keyboard.
So that's all and, that panel can do is just keyboard?
No. Also, it is a Wacom compatible touch area. So what you do is you basically take it, you can either have it in notebook form, book form, or tablet form, pull out the pen. There's two different tips with the pen. One tip is not a writing instrument. The other one is, you can literally use both of them. The gimmick is you have a little pad of paper that you can put on top of it and write on the paper, and it will still register down through and record it as a note. Or you can have the non-writing tip and just draw like a artist on it. And like here is the tablet. The pen is literally thicker than the tablet, which is kind of weird.
Does your power go into the tablet side or the keyboard side when you plug it in to recharge it?
Everything is on the tablet, on the keyboard side, not the screen side. Oh. The power is unfortunately micro USB. Everyone wanted USB Type C. It's a quick charger. I get easy 12 hours of battery life with a screen on virtually the entire time. And I just charge it overnight. But it is a quick charger of some kind. Then it does also have micro HDMI. And it has a 3.5 headphone jack on it. So there's not really a whole lot of stuff there. I mean, literally, you couldn't fit a full-size USB port on this thing. That port's too thick.
The Lenovo compared to your Jide, how's the performance? What's the difference in those two? Okay.
First, I'll say in the hardware arena of this device, I am utterly, completely, ridiculously satisfied. Most of the people I show it to and they touch it and they feel it and they open it and they feel it, they say when they guess the price, they say anywhere from $800 to $1,800. So I think hardware-wise, it exceeds the price. I feel spoiled because I have Remix desktop experience on the Jide Ultra, on the Remix Mini, on Jide in a VM, on Jide on my Pine 64. This is not as good of an Android experience. For instance, like on the Jide, anything you put into windowed mode basically turns from landscape mode to portrait mode and then just has a border around it. Any app, doesn't matter. I think I've only found like one or two apps that will not work in the windowed mode. On the Lenovo, it's literally like they only whitelist certain apps to be able to do windowed mode, which means virtually every app I try right now will not go into windowed mode.
So you got to hold your tablet sideways for it to be displaying correctly.
No. It will show correctly in landscape mode. It will just take up the entire screen. There is no looking at more than one window at a time for a majority of the applications.
Oh, okay.
Which literally takes away from the experience. The other failing, I think, is for certain applications like Mattermost and any IRC client I basically installed, when I hit enter in the keyboard, it does not count as like go on the soft keyboard. You know how on the soft keyboard, sometimes it says go, sometimes it says search, sometimes it says enter, sometimes it says next. Mm-hmm. That keyboard does not, enter button does not correctly translate to all those different functions. So sometimes I literally have to lean up and hit send or enter on the screen for it to work right. So software wise, this Android experience is not perfect compared to my experience on Jide Remix devices. If I didn't have those experiences, I would probably be pretty satisfied with the Android experience. I still wouldn't be blown away with it, but I'd be pretty satisfied because everything that I've tried to install and will run. And with 4 gigs of RAM, it purrs. I mean, everything loads really quick, really fast.
So I'm when we talked about this the first time, I found myself struggling to find a use case, and I still do. Other than just a big phone, what's the reason for paying that to get a big phone?
It's basically thinner, lighter, and in most cases cheaper laptop.
But it's not a laptop. I mean, there's
what can I not do on this that most, that 99% of the population would do on a laptop?
Okay. I don't know what 99% of the population does, but I know what I do on my laptop. And things like, you know, editing a podcast, for example.
Would you take that on the road with you?
I take my laptop with me when I go. I mean, I don't necessarily edit podcasts. I have never seen the ability to completely replace a computer with Android. I guess it's me. My wife does it. Her primary computing interface is the phone. And very occasionally she gets on the computer to do something, you know, publisher, you know, print documents, something like that. So I get it. I just don't get it. I understand that there are people who think that way. I just can't think that way.
Right. Well, I'll admit to you. I will admit to you, even though I don't want to admit this in public to anybody.
It's okay? Just us. It's ever. Just us, door. Nobody's listening. It's cool.
Okay. I have not had a Windows box on my network for over 8 years. For over 8 years, there has not been a Microsoft operating system running full-time on anything. Now, I dual boot on one of my computers to load up iTunes and load podcast after episode, typically 4 or 5, into iTunes. And then I reboot back into Linux. I'm contemplating returning this version of it and getting the Windows version of it for $50 more, only because of, Mark, exactly what you said. If I get the Windows version and it has 4 gigs of RAM, I can load up VirtualBox and I can edit my podcast on the go, because I need to have at least 2 spare gigs of RAM in my VM to edit audio. Granted, it's an Intel Celeron processor. It's going to take a while to transcode. It's really the kind of thing maybe I shouldn't even do on that kind of processor. But I like to have the availability to do that. And in Android, there's no way I know. There probably is a way I can hokey around, chroot an environment, install VirtualBox, start it up in headless mode, then remote into it via VNC. I don't want to do that. That sounds unbelievably clunky. So I am contemplating returning it and getting the Windows model. I ain't gonna lie. I don't want to lie. I don't like lying. It's not good. It's unhealthy.
I just, I was probably, part of the reason I'm so sour on it is I was such an early adopter on the Android tablet thing with the Asus Transformer, and then I had a couple of other convertible style things early on, back in the honeycomb days. And it was such a disappointing experience. Maybe I just can't get over that.
Well, how many tablets have you owned?
I'll call it 2.5. I own 2, and my company owned 1.
I've had at least 6. I've had the Dell Streak. I had the Nexus 7. I had the second Nexus 7. I had a Kindle Fire. I had 2 Kindle Fires. I had the original HP touchpad where I installed Android on it. I know I had at least 2 more. And then I have my Jide Remix, and then I have this. Android in more of a desktop, laptop-like interface does change perspective. It doesn't give you a completely different view on it and use case of it, but it does ease a lot of... the only word I can think of is the little niggling things that if you try to do on a tablet, you find it's a little bit awkward to do. Remix is doing it right.
I haven't been able to make myself buy a Chromebook yet.
I was just going to ask you, Mark, if you've ever had a Chromebook. So, okay, yeah, I'm with you. I had the Asus Transformer, but it didn't scare me away from them. I've had the Nexus 10, both Nexus 7s, the Dell, and I'm greatly awaiting the Nexus or the Pixel 7 or whatever.
My kids have a couple of LG pads, and they like them. I just don't. It's just, it's me.
But, yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong, 99% of the time, all your kids are doing are either watching YouTube videos or playing, like, full-screen games on them. And for those kind of use cases, tablets work pretty good. But to be productive in a lot of ways on a tablet is difficult. Oh, and I have my Cube Air 3G upstairs, dual boot Windows Android tablet. This is close. I will say in comparison to Jide, which I can use to do everything except edit a podcast, this is not there. The Jide is still a better experience. But I will say this keyboard is unbelievably forgiving. Because I know I'm misspelling 2/3 of the words, at least. But because of the Android auto correction, it's literally correcting it as it goes. And before the end of the first day, it was spelling Podnuts correctly on its own.
How does it feel to type on that completely flat, featureless surface?
The awkward part is, and Patrick Norton pointed this out in his tested video review of it, the difference is, especially if you're a touch typist, it's going to be really hard to do. If you're used to resting your keys on the resting your fingers on the keyboard as you type, you cannot do that. You have to have your fingers floating above the keyboard. Now, since I always look at the keyboard as I type, it's not as jarring for me, I'll say that. But it does feel a touch weird. The haptic feedback does help in the psychological part of it, but I can see that getting annoying to people around you. Dung, 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 dung.
I mean, just not having the little raised dots on the F and the J would throw me off.
And here's the thing. The thing lies to you. Underneath the F and the J, it has little white lines. Like, if you touched, it's going to be raised, but it ain't.
Do you find that the hinge is as cool as it looks?
Yeah, the hinge is unbelievable. The hinge was rated at something like 50,000 opens and closes before it would show a reaction. Before it would show wear is what they're rated for. Because they've used this hinge now, I think, 5 or 6 devices. The hinge is literally crazy because it's like 3 mesh thingies that just seamlessly wrap around and form. I mean, it really is almost like voodoo when you stare at it.
It looks like magnets.
Well, that's the thing. And this thing is filled with magnets, okay? When I close it, there's a magnet holding it shut so it doesn't flop open. Even if this hinge starts to give, it's not going to flop open because of magnets. Then there's magnets on both sides of the keyboard. So when you have your little pad, you can basically slap it on and it will stick right to it. I mean, the magnets are so good, it sticks to the outside of it. So
will the magnets hold the pen to it at all?
No.
So the pen is just going to get lost.
The pen is the most losable thing, and I cannot believe how gargantuan this thing is. I feel like a kindergartner kind of thing. You know what I mean? It to me, it just feels too
big. Is there technology in that pen at all?
There has to be something, because I use a normal pen on the pad of paper and it does not register.
Okay. You think there's a battery in it, being a Wacom pad?
Something. Pen? Something. I mean, if I never used a Remix before in any shape or form, I would probably be fawning over this thing. I'll say that. Literally falling over it, saying how great and fantastic and smooth and snappy it boots so quick and da 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 thing. But I still give it an easy 7.5 or 8 out of 10.
Android 6 or 7?
Android 6. They say they have plans for 7. I can also say to you guys right now, I'm going to be your next president of the United States of America. I mean, stuff's easy to say.
I'd vote for you over the other options.
Yeah, words. I might just write you in now. Well, you said that.
I don't think that's very hard, Mark. I mean, that's a really low bar you just put me over. So that's a hardware thing.
All right. Good stuff. I like it when people get new gear. I never get new gear. Your gear budget must be higher than my rent.
No, not really, because most of the gear I buy are $8 NanoPi computers. I mean, this thing's $8. All you got to do is skip a couple cups of coffee and you got that.
Cheap coffee.
My hardware got a new update today to Android 7.1.1. I was surprised by that this morning.
Oh, you're 5X?
So that's nice so far.
Yeah, now there is 2 lines somewhere, I don't know, that you can replace to have your Google Assistant act and exactly like the Pixel Google Assistant.
Oh.
Which is kind of like saying, you know, if you take that tape and put it on your leg and pull it off, it'll pull your hair off. Why would you do such a thing? I can tell no benefit to that.
So far. I mean, so that it's. I have a feeling their research and development is going to be on the assistant first and then Google Now trickle down.
Yeah. I am on pins and needles waiting for my Google Home to show up. So I cannot wait.
You did pre-order?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I pre-ordered it the second could.
Oh, good.
So I should be early on the list, hopefully, and I'll be able to give a hands-on with that.
Okay, now here's my question. I know you. How much of a selling feature was the fact you could walk up, push the button, so the mic wasn't turned on?
Yeah, do you think I trust that?
Well, I think you convinced yourself that's one of the reasons why you bought it.
No, that was...
I tried.
If it had a physical cover that went up and covered the microphone, I'd be much... Then I know for sure it can't hear me.
Right.
I got a tip for Android 7.0 people, and this is something I just learned today, and I had been wondering since I first got Android 7. So, Google Goggles. You guys always install Google Goggles on your devices?
Always. Okay. Always.
So it's a handy tool. Basically, it is a picture search. You take a picture of something and Google searches it. That hasn't worked for me since I installed Nougat, and I didn't really go any farther and try to find out why. But today I did, and what they've done is, you know, where you hold down the home button for an extra long time, and it does the Google
on tap.
So you go to your camera, point it at the thing, and then Google on tap that. Because whatever's on your screen, it's going to...
You just like saying tap that.
Untap that. Sometimes you wish you could untap that.
Well, I would say that, to me, is one of the worst names. I mean, Google's not good at naming things. It shouldn't have been on hold. because you're not tapping. You're holding the button.
Yeah. On press. Yeah.
I don't know. But that untap feature is maybe one of the biggest, I don't want to say blunders.
Never use it.
Nobody uses
it. But now I will.
But now, that's the thing. Now with the Google Assistant, quote unquote, more inbred in with that feature, now that feature might become usable.
You just like saying, called you inbred. You just like saying inbred.
I do.
So, yeah. Well, at least that feature, I mean, I'll be using it with my camera. Mm-hmm. That might be a gateway into using it more often and thinking, because I totally forget it's there. Honestly, I don't even, you know.
Everybody does.
I haven't had the reason to go deeper into something on my screen that I couldn't manually find a way to get. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, and now the other thing you should be able to have is the, on iOS, it's called Force Touch. You know, like they're friggin' Jedi or something when they're not. I believe now in that version of Nougat you might be able to do the long press extra feature function shortcut desktop launcher no kind thing. I don't know.
Like on apps, like if I was on Google Music or something
where you can like hold down Google Photos and instead of just launching it, you can say do something else.
Try that. Oh, yes.
Well, you don't have to try it.
No, I'm holding it and it says I'm feeling lucky or free up space. Thank you, Dor. That is the 7.1 thing.
You're welcome. The bill will be in the mail.
So Google Music gives me recent activity, my library, or I'm feeling lucky. I just like to say I'm feeling lucky.
All right. So why don't we go ahead and jump into some apps first? And since you're feeling luckier, what is your first app of the evening?
Okay. My first app is by High Key Games, and it is called Orbit. It is a game that uses similar physics to like Angry Birds. Basically, there's a black hole. Or a couple black holes on the screen, and you have to orbit these planets around the black holes without having them all sucked in. So, like, it'll tell you have to get, like, 10 planets in orbit, and then you can go to the next level. So at some point, you have to have 10 of them in orbit without, you know, because they're going to get sucked in, or they'll go off the screen or something, they'll fall out of orbit, whatever, or they'll bounce into each other and they'll crash. That's what the game's about.
Angry Birds Space Edition had a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. It is it's just a really white background with pastel-y orbit colors of your planets. It's a pretty simple game, but it's challenging. I'll tell you, it's challenging. I made it to about I'm watching the video, I got nowhere near any of these levels that they even show on here.
Yeah, I'll say I like the general look of it. It's a clean, easy, simple design, I'll say. And it reminds me of what is that feature even called, Mark? You know what it is. In the graphics program where you draw a line and then you drag it and...
Oh, it like an arc. Like a
curve. Yeah. So if you're at all accustomed to using like Photoshop tools or Inkscape to do curvature and lines, you're going to immediately understand some of the functionality of this game and, you know, maybe become an advanced player quicker. Very cool. 35,000 reviews. Wow. There are some kind of in-app purchases too. Between 1 million and 5 million installs.
I can't stop watching the video. It's mesmerizing.
Yeah. I was thinking almost like Zen-like.
Oh, the music, and Dor, you wouldn't like it, but it's very peaceful music that's in the background of it too.
I won't. I despise music in all games. I mean, literally, guys, I now subscribe to, I believe it's over 80 podcasts. I ain't got time for that. I don't care. And the worst thing, in my opinion, was in a game says, make sure you turn up the volume and plug in your headphones. No, actually, I'm going to make sure I turn you off.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even just uninstall you.
The worst for me is when you've got the sound and the music turned off on the game, and then a big loud ad comes up. I will uninstall an app immediately when that happens.
Or when there's no way to even turn the volume down that you can find.
Yeah. All right, Dor, what do you got?
Okay, I just went through a couple because I wasn't sure. The first one I'm going to mention, I hate it, but I have to mention it because it's one of those things that every, you know, Trump and Clinton can't talk bad about this. And that is a Minecraft story mode. You know, it's one of those popular things that both candidates can only have great things to say about it. You know, I think he did good. He made a great game for kids to explore and discover and create and craft, you know, and holding their hand like that weird presidential thing. Minecraft story mode, top developer, of course, actually owned by Microsoft. Don't let anything fool you. Everyone 10 and up. Is now free. It used to be $5. It's now free to get the base application. The in-app purchases are the extra stories to it. So this is like getting the first episode of a show. And then each episode, I believe, costs like $1, maybe $1.50 more.
I must have, I wonder if I get everything because I don't have any options to buy anything now. I think I wonder if I bought it and I got all the stories then.
From the in-app purchases? No.
I've owned it for a while. I was surprised we hadn't brought it to the show, but I think I paid $6 for it or something.
And now I ask you guys this. It says it's a Telltale Game series. Do you guys know about Telltale Game?
It doesn't ring a bell to me.
I've heard of it.
Okay, I believe Telltale Game is almost a, I don't want to say genre of game, but more of a style of gaming where it's questionable amounts of interaction with the backdrop of a story.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a Batman Telltale game where there's points where you go 45 minutes without touching the controller.
The other ones who did watching Mr. Story. Robot game.
Yeah. So it's like a story, and there are only actual couple places where you can actually actively make choices. Every time you're presented with a choice, it isn't always a choice. Sometimes the exact same thing is going to happen no matter what. But it gives you a chance to inject your personality into the game. That's the line I heard why this is a good, fun thing for the kids. I don't know. All I know is if your kid's into Minecraft, which is like saying if your kid is a kid these days, you can at least get them the first edition of this, the first story in this series, completely free.
My sophomore in high school was playing Minecraft today. So it's all age.
Yeah, well, kids of all ages, I say.
Minimum specs, a dual-core 1.2 gigahertz GPU with 1 gig of RAM.
What's the original developer's name? Nosh? Nodge?
Notch.
Notch. Notch would be ashamed needing that kind of power. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, wait, it's Java-based. Never mind.
I wonder if this plays on my Amazon Fire Stick. Maybe that's why. No, because that wouldn't be showing up the Play Store. I don't know.
But, you know, it's one of those things. 135,000 reviews, everyone 10 and up, 87,000 five-star reviews, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Crikey.
The reviews on this one are stacked heavily five-star, but there's also nearly 21,000 one-star reviews. Like, nobody's ambivalent. They either love it or hate it.
Well, that's good.
Isn't that kind of, like, normal?
Welcome to the internet.
Yeah.
All right, I have one email to read, so I don't want to blow that too early. So let's go ahead and go back to you, Eric, for your next app.
All right. I'm going to take you into the world of VR for this app. This is called, and this is an official Google Inc. app. It's called Google Spotlight Stories. And if you're a Simpson fan, the Simpsons, in honor of their 600th episode, launched a VR experience that is included in the Google Spotlight Stories app. But it is a separate download, but it's free when you install the app. And there's no video and no idea from this what you're looking at, is there?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, oops, I'm sorry. So Google Spotlight Stories, the app itself, is a collection of, I would say, middle to higher end quality, I guess, 3D VR movies, mini short movies. And I checked out a couple of them. One of them's actually one of them's the game that came with the cardboard originally, like where you got to chase the hat flying around in the wind. And then there's another one with little bugs that run around and hide.
The thing is, that actually wasn't a cardboard anything first. That was a exclusive on the first generation Moto X. It was just called Spotlight. And then you would come downstairs in the morning and look at your phone, and there'll be like a hat in the corner. And then when you touched it, the Spotlight app would start, and it was an augmented reality thing.
Oh, okay.
All they did was they basically take that same code, push it back into cardboard. And to be honest, that was a very natural fit for cardboard. Because I know when my youngest son did it in cardboard, he was giggling and laughing hysterically. He loved it.
So there's somewhere between 8 and 10 different stories in the app. I haven't tried them all yet. The Simpsons one, is it entertaining? Kind of a little too short. I wish it went on longer. And the Simpsons one is one of the first things that I've noticed that, say, if you're looking to the left of you and up, something up there will be interacting with you. And the thing that's down to the right and behind you isn't interacting with you until you swing your head back over there and look at it. So it's got that kind of thing going on where it's not just a movie playing and you've got to hopefully be in the right spot at the right time to see something. So that I was impressed by that aspect of it because I hadn't seen that really in any other VR yet. There's a pretty neat looking story called Help, and it's a VR movie of almost like a Godzilla type creature that comes out of the night sky in like a comet and just starts going nuts and destroying a town around you, and you're kind of hanging out with a cop and stuff trying to save everybody. It's pretty jarring and realistic. But yeah, no. If you've got a cardboard and you haven't, you know, found the content other than that Queen app, and I know you like that Queen app I brought a few weeks ago, so check this one out too. Google Spotlight Stories.
All right, cool stuff. And you can't tell anything at all from the Google Play page, so you just have to trust Eric.
Yeah. The Google page, nothing at all, and that he doesn't even the pictures of the Simpsons holding up. And I think they came out with a special Simpsons branded cardboard for these, and that's what they're showing. Those pictures have nothing to do with it's basically the Planet of the Apes, but it's couches
that
take over the world instead of apes.
Okay. Now I'm curious.
I'm gonna act like I understood
and
that.
You can do it without the VR headset. All of these will play in full screen, Mark, if you want to just try them out, but you're missing some.
Yeah, and they do it very very intelligently. This is what everybody who thinks they're going to be able to do a movie in augmented reality or VR is going to have to do, where they literally have cues. You're sitting there just looking around at stupid stuff, and out of the left side you hear bleep, bleep, and then you swing over, and then when you highlight something, when you look at something, then the action starts. So they do things like that in these that are, to be honest, very intelligent, or else 80% of the people the first time would not see what they're supposed to be looking at.
And Homer at one time says, look left, look right, then look back at me. And so you do, and you see a couple things over there. But if you look behind you, there's something else totally going on that, you know, like some random character just like, hi, I'm up here, and just waves to you. And just kind of like, turn around, look at what you're supposed to be looking at again.
Yeah, and I'll stop for a moment and just say, even if you don't like The Simpsons or never watch The Simpsons, you gotta give at least some respect to them for going this long. They're in the American psyche. You can say Simpsons, and everybody knows you're not talking about OJ. You're talking about Bart, Homer, Lisa, Maggie, you know, The Simpsons kind of thing. And the thing where they started out, they came out of a Tracy Ullman, I believe it was, short into this. And I watched them for years and years every week. I say like I grew out of them kind of thing, but I'm just amazed that they keep going. And the one line 15 years ago was Simpsons did it, which meant no matter what premise you could think of for anything to happen in a sitcom, it doesn't matter. The Simpsons did it. And that was like 10 years ago. So I don't know what else they could have done. And like, there's things like where people say, look, Simpsons called it. Like from a 94 Simpsons episode, there's an episode where Trump is running for president. You know, it's like Simpsons are calling the future kind of thing. It's just, they've been everywhere and done everything, including a movie that turned out to be kind of floppish.
28 seasons.
How old were you, Mark, when that started?
Well, I'm not really great at math, but I'm going to go with about 16, 17.
Yeah, that's what I'll say, like 15-ish, 16-ish. Because nobody's good at math live on a podcast. I don't care who you are.
Oh, wow. Good stuff. All right, Dor, back to you.
Okay, what I want to bring next, I for some reason swore to myself that this was a game that Eric brought a couple weeks ago, but I'm thinking he didn't. Okay, it's a game called Kerflux.
Nope.
And that was why I kept thinking the name for some reason. Kerflux by Punk Labs, E for Everyone, 3,333 reviews. I'm just saying. Completely free, 4.7 average reviews, 2,500 five-star reviews, 10,000 and 50,000 install, version 1.1.2. To me, this is a very simple and elegant, basically puzzle game. it's different. You have to basically use slide as a mechanic and try to make things match up. And it's the kind of thing where you're not really sure you're going to be able to get it until the split second before you get it on every level. At any point in time, you literally have, it seems to me, like no idea how far you are from solving this thing. But then the split second before you solve it, you're like,
well, it makes sense, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To me, this was a simple game when you don't want to use any brain cells, but you feel like you accomplished something. Minor, but you accomplished.
I love the video for this. I'm glad they put a video on it because it explains nothing at all about the game.
The pictures cannot explain it. I'll say that.
I don't get it. I've watched the video like four times, and I still don't get what you're supposed to do. Apparently, you slide your finger down at some point, and something happens.
Yeah.
Installed. I have to install this. I'm just not going to. It's just nothing you can see to understand.
Well, what it is, and here's the thing, Kate, okay, here's ready tangent. In eighth grade, I remember we had some federal thing come into the school and pull like 15% of the students out of class and gave us some weird test for like half a day.
Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery.
And none of the tests made any sense. A lot of it was shapes, spaces, relationships.
Do they make you put that red stuff on your teeth?
Not that I'm aware of. And I'm really happy I don't know what you're talking about.
Those are the
different
people that
come. Okay.
Okay, here's the gimmick. If you just go 3 seconds into the video, what is happening on all of these puzzles is the first thing on the left is what you're basically sliding. But that plus the middle part equals the third part.
Oh.
You're basically adding up physical space into the third part. And the third part, there's two parts. There's the outline, and then there's what you're manipulating. And your goal is to figure out where to slide both of them, because you first just slide the first one, where to slide both of them to match up, to equate to the third position. Because I'll just say this, I rated very highly in that test that they gave, to which when I was done, I asked them, so what does this test tell you? The guy turned to me and said, we have no idea. but what we do know is that you rank very high. Now, here's the game.
Congratulations.
Seventh grade, I literally failed horribly in school. Ridiculously horribly in school. I had to go to summer school, okay? I had massive amounts of ease. And I literally planned it to where I would fail enough to where I failed, but I could take summer school and pass. Just to... because I hated school so much. I hated it. I want to show everybody this is how much I hate it. Then in eighth grade, I literally got virtually straight A's from beginning of end of school year, just to prove to my parents, look, if I wanted to, I could do this, but I really hate doing this. Ninth grade, again, I failed completely, had to go take summer school. Then when I went to high school in our place, high school started 10th grade. My first year there, for 2 weeks, they sent me to Votech, to some, what turned out to be advanced robotics learning thing, because they told me I ranked so highly on this test back in eighth grade. I still don't know what the hell the test was called. And then if I can go in a time machine and tell myself to do something, it would be go back and do that class, because I could have learned some really cool stuff.
Welcome.
But instead, I was skipping school and getting drunk.
Welcome to going to school that close to Washington, D.C.
I guess. But I mean, I remember just looking at the guy after 2 hours, and I said, well, I think I did good. He said, oh, yeah, you did really good. Okay, well, what is this test? And he just said, we're really not sure.
But somehow your next school that you went to 4 years later knew.
2 years later, knew. Yes. And then they quickly learned, wait a minute, this kid's a jerk. Let's put him in the jerk classes with the jerk teachers. So then the very next year, I quit school.
And look at you today.
Yeah.
Just your success story all the way around, I think.
Well, but I will say, I remember actually seeing one of my teachers not that long ago. And it was the teacher that I basically quit school for. He was the teacher that told me, if you do not stand up in class and give a presentation in front of the class, you will never pass English, whatever it was, in 10th grade, which means you'll never graduate school. To which I said, think words I can't say here.
Au revoir.
Walked out of his classroom, went to the office, demanded, put the paperwork in front of me right now. I'm quitting school. Call my parents. Call my mother. I'm quitting school. I'm getting out of here. I saw him a couple weeks ago. He was working. He had on like an apron, working at like a Cracker Barrel. So I just immediately just dug into him. Said, how's it going? How it looks like you're doing great. This is a step up, ain't it? Yeah, he wasn't a fan of me, nor I a fan of him.
Yep. It's awkward running into those old teachers.
It can be sometimes oddly gratifying.
Did you tell him that you give speeches in the capitals of states now, like you did last week?
No, because then he might have wanted to think that he was right all along in trying to push me.
That's so true, yeah. Yeah, don't give him that gratification.
I know. One of my best attributes is to act stupid, but my next best attribute, only second to that, is the ability to not give people satisfaction.
and she sticks with you anyway.
Let me see if I can get some satisfaction out of an email here from listener Carlo Villacresis, I'm going with. Says, hey guys, love the show. It's become a source of my app selection since I discovered your podcast about 3 months ago. I can't believe I missed you for so long. Keep up the good job. I've been tortured almost to death by my 9-year-old daughter to get her own cell phone. So I have in yesterday. We are constantly going over the rules and possible dangers of the internet, but I feel like I will fail miserably at enforcing certain rules. Thereafter, my need of advice from you on how to deal with this and some apps or tips on how to control somehow my daughter's phone. Not in a bad way, like inviting her privacy, but, for example, how to access Wi-Fi or phone use after certain hours. In general, keep her safe from the usual crap from the internets. Thank you for your show.
Well, I would say as a father, I failed miserably. I have no good nuggets of knowledge to offer. I do know what not to do, though. Don't overly spy on your kids. And don't take the phone away for, well, I don't know. I've got a friend who took his kid, his high schooler's phone away because he wouldn't unlock it for him, so he couldn't see what it is. But you know,
See, at my house, my kids have no privacy. That was the rule. I'm going to give you this piece of electronic equipment for your use, but it belongs to me. And since it belongs to me, I can do whatever I want with it. And so routinely, you know, sitting across the dinner table, I will tell my 13-year-old, hand me your phone. And she'll say, why? I said, so I can read all your text messages. Because, you know, that's the way we do things in my house. That was the deal. And, you know, and she may be hiding stuff. She may be deleting stuff. But she also knows dad's watching.
Yeah, I did let them know that. I mean, I can read logs. I can check histories. And I can go, and early on, I let them know when they crossed the line, just to know, and when they, you know, wasn't obvious that I was watching, but I am, or I could be if I wanted to be. I kind of put the fear into them then, and I've been coasting ever since. So, Mark, you're probably, you and Dor have the more age appropriate children for these things.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. Jeez.
Well, my kids are in high school. One's graduating.
No, but bottom line is, nobody, and here's one of my firm beliefs, nobody can look at somebody else as a parent and tell them what they're doing is wrong. You parent your child the best way you think possible. Now, a court can step in and say what you're doing is illegal, but when it comes to these kinds of things, I don't think anybody can say you're doing it wrong. So we each have our own level of granularity we want to do. And this is the thing to the email guy. This is a really difficult answer to give. If she's not happy with a cell phone, with a tablet, and has to have a cell phone, that's going to make things a little bit trickier, because all they have to do is basically drop off of Wi-Fi, go onto their mobile service, and then they're unfettered in a lot of things, can do whatever they want to do. I'm trying to find a listing on like Wikipedia of MSP providers, because there is one you can go to that I know more than a couple of the techs that I know use, that has an Android client that you can install. Literally, you pay literally something like $2 a month, $3 a month. It's unbelievably cheap. You install a stub application on your daughter's phone, and it gives you a dashboard on her phone to where you can see things like minutes used, data used, applications installed, how much battery each application is using, so you can see how much time they're putting on there. I do believe there is the also availability to remote wipe, so if she loses her phone, you can use that app for that. But it doesn't let you literally spy on the device. So a lot of parents don't want to get into the point of being able to digitally spy on their device. I like Mark's idea, right in front of the kid's face, saying, I'm looking at your phone. I'm looking at it while you're looking at me looking at it. And your mom's looking at you looking at me looking at it. Well, I'm looking at it. See, I'm looking at it. So I'll let them know. And I, to be honest, I'm a fan of that solution. I'm not a complete fan of silently, digitally nosing in.
There are apps that do that, though. It's not hard to find. Generally, they cost between $30 and $50 up front, and then a monthly service fee. And it's essentially a rootkit that you install on your phone. They exist. They're out there. I like Door. I don't agree with that. I think the best filter is a parent. And you know, the fact that you asked this question tells me that you care enough about your kid to want to do the right thing. And I think the right thing is to be, you know, again, this is just my opinion. I think the right thing is to be totally blunt and honest. And in the same way that I'm not going to give a kid a shotgun and say, what? Here you go. I'm going to say, you're not ready for this yet. I'm going to teach you in a structured fashion how to handle this. The technology is the same way. You're not ready for the full impact of this yet. I'm going to teach you in a structured fashion. And in the same way you wouldn't leave a kid alone with, you know, a shotgun, you're not going to leave the kid alone and unsupervised with the phone.
Now, I will say, one of my children is a senior, one of my children is a sophomore. Neither of them have a smartphone or a data plan. So it's not like they can get that when their time is right. I don't think that they are at the age. I mean, I could be a tightwad too, which could be a big part of it. I don't want to pay for two more data plans. Even though, segue, right in the middle of this email question, I'm sorry. Google Fi just started a family plan. Okay, but
probably doesn't work with apps accounts.
Of course not. Probably. What is this probably you speak of?
Yeah, and then the guy who whose kid wouldn't give him the passcode to unlock his phone, and he was actually trying to sell me the kid's Xboxes out of his trunk. He goes, I repoed these for my kids because he wouldn't unlock his phone. So I'm like, that's kind of a weird punishment for the crime. You know what I mean? I could see taking the phone away, but then the Xbox, I don't know. To each his own, right? Like Mark said, you just do what you think feels appropriate, and maybe the kid needs to have his Xboxes taken away for other reasons, and this just seemed to be a convenient excuse. I don't know.
See, here's the problem. I'm trying to find the name of this company live on the show, of course, because that's always the way you should do it. And because MSP
is SpiceWorks? I don't know. I'm starting naming off MSPs.
No. SpiceWorks isn't an MSP. This is literally, like, you know how they say in the Big Bang, there was the original expansion, but then after that, there was an extreme inflation, faster than light inflation. MSP in the last year has been under that inflation, where the number of people popping up offering MSP services to people to have other people sign up to help manage things has exploded so hard. So violently, I'm literally having a hard time finding them. I believe they were owned by, I was going to say LogMeIn, but it wasn't LogMeIn. It was another big name like that. And they changed names like 3 times in the last year, so that doesn't help. I'm going to contact my buddy Liam Tidwell. He's the guy in the trenches. He's the guy, when he turns around and pulls his shirt up, his back's just covered in scars because he's seen so much action in this arena and fixing computers and stuff. he's the kind of guy, as soon as I just start to say, what is the name of that, as soon as I say that, he'll just tell me the answer because he knows. This is the kind of thing he's been asked millions of times, too. So I'll get that answer, and I will shoot it back in email, hopefully before this even gets published.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the end of my email, and since I know that Dor is researching the web right now, we'll just go right back to Eric.
Okay, I've got another app from Google, and this one, unless you're really artsy and you think you...
Oh, geez, here we go. Go
ahead. This is a crap app.
Yes, it is. From Google,
unless you're really into some weird, funky video camera action that could be looked at on a VR headset later by somebody. But basically, it's called Sprayscape, and it's kind of like... You know, when you're using like paint or Inkscape or something, and you can use the spray paint brush or the spray paint tool, it kind of does that with your camera as you move it around in a sphere, and it kind of takes like really blurry pictures of stuff as you hold your finger down. If you go slower, they're slightly more in focus. If you go faster, they're super blurry. And I've tried a couple of them in different places, and they don't look good. I don't understand. I don't know. I guess unless you're surrounded by your closest friends in a circle on a dance floor, maybe that could be a use case. But other than that, I don't understand why anybody would use this thing. I don't get it.
Well, Instagram has been ruining photos for so many years now. It's about time somebody did it for video.
It's not video.
Yeah. I'll say this is like almost one of those augmented reality testing experiments, see what you can envision, explore, discover, create. Sorry, but hippy dippy, like weatherman kind of thing that George Carlin back in the 60s would have thought was far out and groovy.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
See, from looking at this video, I thought this was recording videos, but I see now that I had misinterpreted that. It is just a collage, essentially. Yeah. Of still things, but everything they're showing is in motion, but it's a way to capture motion with crappy still video. I mean, still pictures.
It's a way to make a panoramic 360 thing that's a collage of, if you do it right, nothing will be blurry. Everything will be crisp and clear, but we all don't have perfectly still hands, so it will be a colossal hot stinking mess.
And I still don't. I mean, you would probably have to stand there for 4 hours taking this one picture to do it without blur.
Well, if you have your phone on a pedestal, on a tripod thing where it's in the one location, I think it's possible. I think it's doable. I also think it's a complete waste of time if you do that, just setting up the tripod.
But there's an app called Photosphere that does that. If you want a perfectly crisp, you know,
right. Wasn't that a Microsoft thing?
I think it might be Samsung.
Maybe.
I think it's built into the Samsung camera.
Well, what's the difference these days?
Oh, yeah.
Richard Craig leaves a review that I think sums up my thoughts about it. He says, as advertised, but still, WTF. It does what it says, but I'm really lost on the purpose of this. The results are just plain ugly and pretty useless. I know this isn't meant to be Photosphere, but I just see no use for whatever this is.
Agreed, yes. Perfectly put. But it does really make it super easy to share them when you're done, as I did with Dor the minute I finished my first one. And he's like, WTF, you know?
Yeah, I mean, apparently in the Google created lab, maybe they have things called edibles, or maybe they like picking random fungi from the forest. I'm not really sure.
I'm just saying, if they're cutting Hangouts on Air and Google Wave for this crap, their 20% time isn't as good as it used to be, for sure. Right.
Yeah, but see, Mark, the old catchphrases used to be locally sourced, handcrafted, small batch, organically grown. Well, now the newest catchphrase is, yes, Mark, but this is utilizing machine learning.
That's true. That's true. It is.
To bubble up AI in unique and personable ways, to be your personal assistant in blah, 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 blah. With
vertically integrated,
yes,
something or other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vertically integrated middle out compression.
I love the Vidalot compression.
I know. I'm going to keep saying it for years.
I will. It'll always be in my lexicon. There's no way around it now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
All right. Dor, your next app, please.
Okay. I'm going to end up bringing another game. And I said, I believe last week, Mark, if I'm not mistaken, the idea of board games are going to become sickeningly popular here in the next couple weeks. And I thought I might be completely wrong when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Me no board game guy. Me no like board game. Me adult. Me like interactive games. I believe there's a game called Settlers of Catan. And I believe this game is trying to get a little rub off of that. This is called Merchants of Cadian. And when I look at some of the gameplay, it reminds me of what I thought I saw on Settlers of Catan board. I could be extremely wrong there. I'm going to throw that out there. And if I am, please send your emails to steve@smdcomputing.net. This is $2.99, only 189 reviews. T for Teen by Forever Entertainment. It's a strategy game. 110 five-star reviews, 4.2 average rating. Between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. It's, I believe, so new. It doesn't even tell you a version number yet. That's how new this thing is. This is a board game with extra animation, because there's no animation in a board game, animation into it, where it literally tries to be a pretty interactive experience. When I think of this, Mark, I think of the old Super Nintendo game, the Three Kingdoms or something like that it was called. Was the Asian strategy game for, I think it was NES or Super NES, Empires of the Three Kingdoms or something. But I don't get this really a whole lot. I'll say that.
I think the animation or the graphics look nice. I don't think I could ever spend time on this because I don't think I could, my attention span wouldn't let me learn enough to even make it worth trying.
It's like Legend of Zelda with all the tedium and none of the fun.
Extreme tedium. There was a game, honestly, I forgot to bring like 2 months ago, where literally you had to play the game for over a half an hour before you actually got to normal gameplay. And it's because it took a half an hour to go through the tutorial to show you all the different things on how to play the game.
Necessarily, though? This, I mean, or could you had?
You... Unless you already knew that style of game, which is an actual style of game in Japan, you wouldn't know what the hell you were doing most of the time. You could discover this stuff, but it would take hours of gameplay. This, to me, it seems like the same kind of thing. Just to get the basic mechanics of how to do things in this game and what's truly beneficial versus not beneficial over the long term seems to me like a literal universe of knowledge and experience you have to learn.
That old game that you used to play where you lay your hand on a table and you hit it with a knife in between your fingers, I do like that in the screenshots of this game, you can virtually do that now. So that might be worth the app just for that and spare the stitches. When you want to play that game with your friends, you could take out your phone and then replicate it in the safer environment. I do like that about this game.
Sure. There is a bunch, and that's the whole thing, there is a bunch of different types of gameplay going on in this. If you watch the video, it's board game, and then there's definitely some, I guess, mini games, I would say, in this. If you literally, I'm going to put it like this. If you think you're going to be like off of work for 2 months because you just had a quadruple bypass, This might be a good 99-cent purchase.
Yeah, and it's now, pay once for the whole game, 99 cents. I mean, yeah, if you've got some time. I agree with Dor. This would be worth investing some time into. If you had nothing else that you could do, this is a perfect one. I don't know why it says promo in the icon, though. That's kind of odd. I wish they didn't have that.
Yeah, and if I didn't say it, sorry, 99 cents. I did say it. I'm shocked games like this coming out that appear to have this level of depth only being 99 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're going to a pack of the cards for that other game you were talking about earlier. It's probably like $5.99. And that's only one pack.
Yeah.
And in fact, that game you were just talking about, there's a new store that just opened up last month in our town called Gaming Goat. And they had a big thing about this. Something about that game got 2-year support. that whatever, I don't know what that means or something like that, but guaranteed that game's still going 2 years from now, somehow.
The Settlers of Catan game?
I'd have to go on their site and see exactly what. It's something that started with a K. I didn't know exactly what they were saying.
Karate.
No. It was actually, you know, it was like
Kirkpatrick.
I'll find out.
All right, this would be a great time for me to read an email and pull us out of the doldrums here, but I don't have any because you people have not been sending emails. So now that I'm going to excoriate you, the listener, bad listener, no cookie, you need to send us emails, mail@podnuts.com, aaa@podnuts.com. Anything at podnuts.com, I think, goes to door. Just send it to thefluffectic@podnuts.com and see what happens. I bet it'll get it.
That might work.
So, Door, do you have another app for
us? Oh, didn't Door just go?
Yeah, I did, but we skipped him earlier, so I was trying to bring the balance back.
Just making sure.
Mark likes bringing balance to the force. What I want to bring next is actually not a game, because, you know, we got it once in a while, just not the games. And I did bring an app earlier, like maybe a month and 2 months ago, that did this kind of similar thing, but this one does it better, and I'm trying to find that one app I can find to take the long screenshots, whether I'm on a web page or I'm in a chat. I don't like the idea of screenshot, scroll, 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 screenshot, scroll, 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 screenshot, scroll, 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 4 or 5 times, and then going and pasting 4 pictures to somebody trying to explain to them or show them something, like how stupid somebody is. You know what I mean? No. I want one app I can basically just initiate and basically capture an entire length of a web page or something like that. And this one's called Longshot for Long Screenshots. E for Everyone does have some in-app purchases. I didn't run into them. Free to install. Only 11 reviews. 8 of them are 5-star, which means he has a lot of family and friends. Between 500 and 1,000 installs. Current version 0.80. So it's basically not even version 1. Literally updated, I think, 2 days ago.
Crash way less is what's new.
Yeah, by Levgen. Which, honestly, you know, it's a good name, ain't it, Levgen?
I think it's Levgen. It's a callback to his ex.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe an invitation for her to go away.
What are you doing down there? Coding, Levgen.
Right, now this is in 0.8, and this did mostly work for me. They have a feature where you can enable, it's called Capture Screenshot Scroll Helper. So when you go to do a screenshot via hotkey buttons, or sometimes in the drop-down notification pane it says screenshot, when the system gets called to do a screenshot, this app can pop up and help you take a long screenshot so you don't have to go through another app to go to your screenshot or go do something else. It's all that one fluid motion. It's not going to work on all devices. It's not going to work on all OSs. This is version 0.8. But I do encourage you, if this is the kind of feature you want to have, get in early. This is my logic, and I hold by this wholeheartedly. Get in early, buy an in-app purchase, show the person you mean business, then click on the app and hit contact developer and say, hello, I purchased your add-in feature. I really hope you get this enabled scroll helper to work on more devices. Here's my device. Is there any way I can help? And they might send you a beta version of the app and get you to capture log files to help make the app better for everybody. This is the kind of feature I really do like. I like being able to, in a web page, hit my screenshot button, and it did work a couple times, and it captured the entire length of the page. So I thought that was cool.
I agree. At first, I wasn't getting what it does, but yeah, that's for things that you would scroll down for. It'll capture all that that's down there.
Right. So you just hit start, scroll, and then hit end, and it stitches it together, which is non-trivial. That's some pretty good math going on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. With all the different screen sizes, with all the different versions, if you use Chrome, you're going to get a much higher success rate across devices. But even then, I'm sure if you're on Gingerbread or something, you're going to have problems, at least sometimes.
It seems like it would be simple to just be able to tap into the display driver, right? And display the screenshot in the same way that the app is displaying it. But I'm sure that's a whole separation of apps thing that it won't let it do that. But I mean, if Hangouts can scroll a whole screen of text messages, why couldn't a screenshot app use the same display hooks that Hangouts does? Well, probably because if they could do that, they could also read your password.
I do think there's a lot of permission-based things where back in the day, willy-nilly. They would have just let people do it. And they would have just blamed you for installing the software, where now a lot more people are a lot more cautious about what they allow on their OSs. So I can't, you know, I want to say, no, just let me do it. But I can't, because even I make dumb choices. And I'll say still, I've been trying to get infected now for, what, 5 years on Android, and I just can't seem to do it.
I have, you know, engaged in high-risk behaviors as well, and so far, nobody's caught me. So maybe Android isn't the death trap of destruction that people want you to think it is.
Yeah, I don't escape too far outside of safety areas, but I do. And one of the first things I would do is allow unauthorized, you know, installs. And yeah, I've never had an issue either. And I, you know, just as recently as yesterday, I installed an app from a website that wasn't the Play Store, Amazon store, or anywhere reputable.
And you clicked a link to get there, right? You didn't manually type the URL.
Correct. Yeah, that's true too.
Danger. Danger. All right, Eric, empty your tank. Give us your best shot.
Okay, so I want to go back to the big news. Kaladesh will be in standard for 2 years. 2 years after we announced a change to standard rotation, we're revisiting the effect that change has had on the format. So
that, how are you talking about? What?
I don't know what any of that means.
I don't know. That was the Gaming Goat big news for the day.
Oh!
And I don't even know if that's the same game. So it does look maybe similar, I guess, though. Kaladesh, is that what you guys were talking about at all? I don't think it was.
No. Okay.
So,
well, are you going to check us? Because if you ain't going to check us, yes, it was there. Good job.
Okay, so that was the news. And now I've got some good news. And I've got an app called Good News App. Were you ever hit up by a bus driver to sell grit?
I was asked by a couple senior citizens if I was a hairdresser.
That's okay. Well, Grit used to be this newspaper, and I think it's probably still around. And basically, it was all good news. And it was, I think it was sold by a religious thing, possibly, I don't know, maybe the Jehovah Witnesses or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, there was never bad news in it. And this is kind of a similar app. I don't know if it has any religious ties to it, but it's basically good news most of the time. So it's not bringing you down with a bunch of normal news, which stinks usually. And it's by...
Well, some of it is apparently 20 years old news, because this one says, hole in ozone layer is finally starting to heal, which was reported in early 2000.
Well, come on, Mark. I mean, if they can only report good news, that means they're going to have to recycle some stuff.
It's a good point.
Because everybody knows there's not enough.
Yeah, I think the hole in the ozone layer gets resealed every couple years. I don't know.
You mean kind of like how Dennis Ritchie's going to apparently die every 5 years now?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, nobody. Oh God, Eric, I love you, but nobody does. Without him, we wouldn't be using computers even remotely close into the same way that we use them today. Okay. He's the guy that died almost at the same time as Steve Jobs.
Okay, yep, I remember this now.
He was the guy that invented computing, created C programming language, was the backbone creator in Unix itself. Yet people mourned over a guy who was a good salesman, who declined Western medicine to unfortunately die early.
So I'm not going to make any qualifications to this statement. I will say, however, that a number of the screenshots feature Indian news stories, and all of the reviews are by people with Indian names.
A lot of the news stories, and yeah, my pop-ups or my notifications that I get from this seem to be quite a bit that way. Yes. So maybe it's Hindu.
And that's okay. You know why? That would just make me want to move to India and become a Hindu. Because, well, I'm sorry. Haven't we been asking for this for like 20 years? Kind of like how we've been foreshadowing, saying for decades how when people run for president, it's the lesser of two evils. Haven't we like been asking for 20 years? Why is it when I turn on the news, I only get bad news? Isn't it about time somebody at least makes an attempt to try to just convey good news? And I'm sorry, if it's nationally biased or ethically biased in the news it's showing, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. What's good for one is not good for the other sometimes, though. So be careful.
What's next, Eric?
No, that's my tank, man.
That's it. Okay. It's crisp and fast.
My tank is crisp and fast, just like this app. from Archway Communication PVT LTD.
All right, Dor, I can't say empty your tank. You will flood us all. Give us two or three of the ones that you just had to do tonight.
Well, I'll give you a couple that I at least found interesting, and these are the kinds of tools I really wish I could find patterns in my daily routine to use more. This first one is called, oh my goodness. This first one is called Orgsley.
Orgsley?
Mark.
I'm going to say Orgsley.
Orgsley, yes.
Thank you. I'm going with you guys because I'm an idiot. Orgsley, notes and to-do list.
Can we spell productivity app? Orgzly.
Or while listening to this, you can just go to the notes for the show and scroll down, and they're right there. By Orgsley, 553 reviews, E for everyone, completely free, no in-app purchase, 351 five-star reviews, updated October 19th, current version 1.4.5, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs. Whew. Okay, this is a note-taking and organization gathering app with a unbelievably, in my mind, clean, simple, almost mono interface,
monochromatic.
Thank you. Monochromatic. I knew mono and chroma was there someplace. but there is a little bit of color there. Okay. There's a little color in there. But I really do like the layout and the idea of this, and there is some markup you can do to it. You don't have to ever use the markup, but you can, very easy to expand and contract listings. If you have deep nested list kind of thing, I really liked the look and feel of this app. I just can never find a way to insert it into my routine.
I agree, Dor. I tried within the last 3 weeks, OneNote, after the long conversation we had after the show a few weeks back. I went and tried OneNote again, and I've given up again already. It's like the fifth time I've tried to start with OneNote. My old notes are still there from last time I tried, but can't do it. Can't do it.
Well, maybe you guys just have better memories than I do. If I don't write it down, it didn't happen.
No, I purposely feel like I can't write everything down because then I might have a nervous breakdown or a heart attack or a stroke seeing how much stuff I need to do. So I can't. And I will say, near the very bottom line of the description of this app, this to me is an example of why I was drawn to this app. It says, how do you say it again? Orgsley is young. Help us improve it by sending us your ideas, suggestions and issues at http://orgzly.com. So they're encouraging interaction. They want to become not just an application, a platform, but they want to become at least a little bit of a community. So this is to me is an example of good stuff and people really trying to do good work is what I say. And then I'm going to bring a game and then I'm going to call that the whole show. This is a very classic top-down three-quarters view old-school looking RPG called Ninth Dawn 2-2 RPG. The name just rolls off the tongue, people. That is the number 9 TH space DAWN space II space the number 2 space RPG. Okay, problem number 1, Valaware. Name your app simpler. Okay. 401 reviews, $3.99 to buy, T for team, no in-app purchases. If you look at this screenshots and you're a fan of this genre, $3.99 is what you're going to be very willing to spend, I'll say. Example, if you look at the reviews, 336 five-star reviews, then 4, only 34, 3, only 17, 2, 6, 1, 8. So a extreme overwhelming majority of people that saw this game that bought it liked it. Updated October 16th, 67 megs is a little bit big, 1,000 and 5,000 install, version 1.7.5, content rating team because of violence and blood, I will say. This is a really old school RPG, defeat the ghosts, defeat the ghouls, build up your mana, build up your experience, level up, find the magic sword, good map view, just pick up berries and bottles of potions and kill things.
I like how your player's like paper thin.
It's two-dimensional. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I liked and combination like, don't like, the mechanic of fighting is not you just click one button and then you just stand there and watch the fight happen. you can move in and out and away and to and fro in the middle of a fight. You're not actively swinging your sword, but you're in like any attack mode. I like the movement on the screen. It seemed very open and free-flowing to where if you needed to go a great distance quick, it wouldn't be tremendously burdensome, is what I'll say.
It looks like an old, you know, PC, like, Ultima-type game, just on the phone.
Yeah, and a little bit faster. Your avatar, I think, would be a little bit smaller than I would say, like, the old one. But it's definitely a little bit faster, a little bit snappier, and definitely more free-moving, is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. You can actually jump. You know, if that tells you anything, because in those games, typically you can never jump.
Good at stuff. Bad name.
Yeah. Yes. Ninth Dawn 2 RPG.
Maybe they're just seeing how bad we can name a game, but yet still have it successful. Yeah,
they should have just named the game Valorware, and it could have been their, you know, their signature game. But
Valorware.
Yeah.
No, that's not Valorware. Okay. I think so.
But if it's Ninth Dawn 2 RPG, it could be Valorware.
Yeah.
All right, so because people are always asking for it, let me run down the apps tonight. Orbit, Playing with Gravity by High Key Games, puzzle game. Minecraft Story Mode by Telltale Games. Google Spotlight Stories by Google Inc. Kerflux by Punk Labs. Sprayscape by Google Creative Labs, crap app of the night. Merchants of Caden by Forever Entertainment. Long Shot for Long Screenshots by Leave Gene Productivity. Scroll up. Good News app by Archway Communications Private Limited. Orgsley by Orgsley. And Ninth Dawn 2 RPG by Valorware.
Okay, and now just one last second tangent. I'm going to put the link in the notes or in the chat real quick so you guys can see it too, just in case you haven't. Okay. Phones are driving innovation in hardware, bringing down price in hardware, mass producing these things to bring down the price for everyone else to use. Here's an example of how big game manufacturers are going to benefit from it. NVIDIA released today a 3-minute video of their next generation console going to be released in late March, I want to say, called Nintendo Switch. Which in hindsight might be the best damn console name ever because they're trying to get you to switch to it. I'm just going to say it. Yeah. Here's the gimmick. It is if you buy all the components, a portable handheld 7-inch console that plays the exact same game that you can play on your television set because it's the same basic unit. So you can get really high quality graphics, not realistic graphics, but high quality game graphics in a portable handheld unit and on your screen. It's using a custom, never before released, done whatever, NVIDIA chipset. It's like a halfway between the X1 and X2. X2 is the next generation one, not even out yet. And it's using, I can never remember the name of the programming language behind it, which they say is like paradoxical or something. But here's the gimmick. Here's why I want to mention Android App Hacks. It's using an NVIDIA processor, which means NVIDIA is going to gain from this, which means NVIDIA is going to have more power, more stroke, more leverage, more money, more influence to be in more devices. So expect higher end devices, small devices, to have even more NVIDIA chips in them. But here's the real thing. Now it means game developers only have to program for this one platform for this one device, and they then can market it to the home, full screen TV gaming people or the portable handheld gaming people. The exact same software on both. So that means they get double the audience. Xbox, Sony, and everybody else in the history of the annals of time have sucked at handheld gaming. Nintendo's the only one that's done good. And I think, again, this is going to be a friggin' home run. But here's why I'm bringing it up on Android App Addicts. The games on this are going to directly compete with the games on our mobile phone. Expect mobile phone developers with talent, with really high-end talent, to start to leave the mobile gaming space and move towards these kinds of spaces if the money's there, if this device is successful enough, if this device is in enough homes. This could utterly impact gaming on Android for the foreseeable future. Only time will tell.
Because this takes cartridges, and you can't just have a Play Store and buy this everything digitally.
Well, Well, no, no, no. You're going to be able to download digital content, and you're going to have a physical card, but you're also going to have extreme amounts of, in that game, expansion and downloadable content you can get as well. But there will be, no doubt in mind, standalone games you can buy on it, like, for instance, old retro games kind of thing. You won't need to buy a cartridge for that. You just download them. But yeah, this is possibly big. And I can't believe they announced it now,
yeah,
2 months before Christmas, and it's not coming out till 3 months after Christmas.
That's people.
They're either pretty confident in their Christmas sales numbers, or they're literally like that stereotypical move in a movie, sitting at the blackjack table, pushing all your money. They're going all in with this thing, is what I'm thinking. They think this is it. And honestly, from what I look at it, when I see about it, this has a definite possibility of being bigger than the Nintendo Wii, mm-hmm, which everyone said can't make it, won't make it, it's stupid, it's horrible, it's dumb. You know, it's a little kiddie system. It blew everything out of the water for the first like 2 years after launch. I honestly think this is poised to even do more impactful stuff than that.
So just to give our listeners who haven't watched the, you know, 3.5 minute video at Nintendo.com/Switch a feel for what it is. This is essentially an Android tablet. It's not Android, but we're going to go with that. It's an Android tablet with a Bluetooth controller and a dock for your TV.
And so two controllers on the sides.
No, no, that's the gimmick. It's an Android tablet with two controllers on the side of it, which both of them detach. You can use them as a single controller, or you can give them to two people and use as two controllers. And those two controllers then can come off, come together as one controller up on the top portion of that screen, and become one unified controller. It's a very modular approach, is what I'm going to say. And then the whole tablet itself slides into the dock, and then it goes up to your TV. And I'm sure there's some extra processing going on in that dock.
So it's a novel presentation of existing stuff. Everything that's in this video we already have, but it's combined in a novel way by a company that, I'm not going to say pioneered mobile gaming, but pretty much pioneered mobile gaming.
And almost like Apple, and I'm going to say this even though I love Nintendo, almost like Apple, Nintendo's greatest achievements have never been in pioneering hardware, but instead taking pre-existing hardware and then putting great things on it. And that's what I think this is. Because I agree, there's nothing spectacular about this hardware, but it does look solid. It does look good. And in the video, it looks cool. To me, the whole thing is, the first three quarters, or at least half of launch games that come out, they're going to need to be, you don't need any instructions or intro to it. You're going to have to be able to give that console to anybody, and they just instinctively start playing it without needing 10 minutes of intros on how to play. If they can pull that game functionality off on this kind of portable thing, I think it's going to be successful.
I wonder if they ported any of the 3DS 3D stuff to the screen, and I also wonder if they imported the nunchuck type, like for bowling, into those little side controllers at all.
No, no, there is no DS, there's no 3D anything that I'm aware of. They are taking Wii U games and putting it on here. And everything I got said to me, there is no gyroscope accelerometer in either of these things, primarily because two of the ways you're going to be using this, two out of the three ways you're going to be using this, they're either going to be connected to the screen or they're going to be connected together in one controller. So you're not going to have, for the majority of gameplay, two separate things. So gyroscopes, I don't think, are even in this at all. I think you're going to have dual thumbsticks. You can do that, but not gyroscopes. But they didn't really say. They just said, here's a video with a bunch of hipster kids. Watch.
Well, thanks for sharing the hipster kids' video with us, Dor. It's exciting. It's good.
And yes, I'm going to buy one and probably take a couple days off work when it comes out.
You know, I've learned in my 44 years on this planet to never bet against Nintendo. They may get knocked down. You know, the Wii U wasn't a smash hit, but it was a profitable product. You know, and so this may not be the next Game Boy, but it's going to be a product that they make money off of, I have no doubt.
Yeah, Venstone, a dedicated Linux gamer, PC gamer kind of guy, said sarcastically, well, this is it, people. If they don't do this right and this isn't a super hit, Nintendo's clearly going to run out of money in about 90 years.
That's right.
And I can't argue with him on that, but I truly believe this. Okay, if I'm a parent of, and now this is a very bad analogy, but I'm going to make it anyway. If I'm a parent of one kid, that means I can spend all my time, all my day, thinking, caring, loving, ensuring, overprotecting, everything that one kid. If I come home and I have 50 kids in my house, I'm even going to forget some of their names, okay? And a couple of them, I'm just going to have to just, at the age of like 18, just get out of the house. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. Microsoft has so many different things going on. It's the old thing of spinning the plates on the poles. How many plates can they realistically keep spinning and be great at? Sony, same thing. The number one moneymaker of Sony is life insurance. Don't believe me? Go look it up. So that's not even their most important plate they're spinning this game console. This is Nintendo. This is all they do. Yes, they used to do stuff like, used to make like game cards and stuff like that. No, this is all they do now. This is it. If this does not succeed, they are a disgrace. And in Japanese culture, you do not want to be a disgrace. So this is honor we're talking about. And that's why I believe when this comes out, you know, kids, I love you. Go upstairs. Honey, I love you. Just order food for yourself. I'll see you tomorrow.
I think bringing it out now is smart, because then all those people who were on the fence, oh man, PS4 has been out for a while. I don't want an Xbox One. But God, there's got to be something coming. Oh, wait, wow. Hey, kids, how about if I just give you a rain check for Christmas? And
Well, and here's the two things. There is no prices mentioned whatsoever. I don't know how much it's going to cost. I'm gonna guess, and I'm gonna say between $300 and $400, which that's what they need to be at in my eyes. But I'm sorry, the name is perfect. Out in your face, subliminal messaging. Mm-hmm. A guy walks up to the counter of the store. He says, "What's that?" "Oh, that's Nintendo Switch." You're telling the guy to switch. I mean, you know what I mean? The Wii U. What is that? The Wii U. What the hell is a Wii U? You know what I mean? The name made no sense. This name, at least in some degree, makes sense.
I've been waiting for the Nexus or Pixel tablet, the 7-inch, to come out for a long time, because it's going to be a perfectly capable game-playing tablet. And to have a really super simple dock that goes to full, like, probably 4K from that dock, sure. I may not get a tablet because of this. Because I'm sure that's going to do everything my tablet, and it's going to run Android probably somewhat and do all the, you know.
Well, the browser. Gimmick is top tier developers, the huge top tier developers like the Segas, like the EAs kind of thing. I don't even know what their top tier anymore. They're going to make games that are probably going to be on both. The maker of Skyrim, if you watch the video, they're doing a new high definition re-release of Skyrim. That's going to be on this device. And I can't remember who the other big name, at the very end of the video on Nintendo.com/Switch, in very small text, there's two Bethesda and another game developer that they thank. To already have big-time third-party developers on board for this device is unusual for Nintendo, and it's a great sign of things to come. Android has great developers on it, but if they can pull some top developers over to at least cross-release games or, you know, come to them, this is going to be devastating, I think, only because the hardcore gamers are always going to buy whatever the hardcore gamers buy. But to be very frank with you guys, I don't care less about hardcore gamers. As far as I'm concerned, hardcore gamers can all, I don't know, move to Yugoslavia. I don't care. I like fun games, not hardcore games. And that's what I think this console is going to be, like the Wii, and just fun games.
All right. I think we need to wrap it up here before we move into full-on mini-series territory.
Sorry.
A very special movie of the week. But any other final words of wisdom from you, from the manager, from the executive?
I think Dor put in time and a half today. Reward him with that for his OT that he put in this show.
Yeah. And the best way to do that, Dor, how should people throw money at you?
Watch the video again. If they go to Patreon and just search for Android App Addicts, they will come across our Patreon page. I encourage anybody out there, first support your family, then support yourself, then support all the friends around you. And then if you can spare a dollar a month, I would be extremely thankful. And you will get a direct line to ask me anything or request us to do whatever, whether it be play chess or anything else. That main line right to us. That's a very easy way to do it. And you can just go to podcast.com, click the Amazon link, or you can go straight to a PayPal donation link, whatever. A whole bunch of different ways to do it. And I'm going to harken back to one of the things I said nearly one of my very first podcasts I've ever done on Linux for the Rest of Us, I believe episode 2, which is support those who support you.
Oh, hey, by the way, I am a chess player too. So count me in if that thing becomes a thing.
All right, I have nothing more to add to that, so I will simply say good night. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends about it, and thanks for going right now to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and pledging at least $4 per month. Dor said a dollar. But come on, that's a quarter a show, really? That's an insult. Give the man at least a buck a show. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for hanging out with us. That ends this episode of the Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.